The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's a pleasure now to be joined in studio by Lara Marlowe. And she, of course, is the Irish Times France correspondent and a regular contributor on the Pat Kenny Show. And what we wanted to do was take a look into the relationship and the deep bonds between Ireland and France. Because on the 1st of January, it'll be the 50th anniversary of 1973 when we joined the EU. And really, you know, looking at it with Brexit and so on, have developed a really long-term relationship. And it has transformed the country. So for you, when you think of Franco-Irish relationships, what comes to mind first?
It's like an epic novel. I mean, it goes way, way, way back. The first Irish college in Paris was founded 445 years ago. And actually, there's I brought an excerpt from a novel by Shane Leslie, the Irish diplomat and writer. The novel he wrote in 1923 was called Doomsland. And this passage really sums up to me the historic bonds, anyway, between France and Ireland. He wrote, "Paris cemeteries were full of Irish graves. Her archives were choked with Irish plots and documents. The Irish swarmed in French history. In old colleges and behind crumbling walls, priests, soldiers, and secret agents had conspired. Through 18th century Paris passed the wild geese of the Irish Brigade. In Notre Dame knelt the victors of Fontenoy. From the Irish college, priests passed to and fro between the two countries. It was an Irish abbé who remembered the right words to cry to Louis XVI at his execution, and an Irish physician accompanied Napoleon to St. Helena."
So that was written in 1923, and it was deep history of Franco-Irish. I actually thought it was the other way, that Normans came over here, that Huguenots came over here. You're saying actually emigration before we got interested in the US was mostly to France, was it?
No, it went both directions. But in before Irish people started emigrating to the US, they emigrated to France. They emigrated to France during the penal laws. All the Irish priests were trained in France for those years, for decades and decades. And the Irish College in Paris gave 50 bishops to the Irish Catholic Church. But it's not just historical.
I was just going to say, no, but is it mostly religious then? A Catholic bonding.
Catholicism is definitely a big part of it. I think that France did a huge amount to preserve Catholicism in Ireland. But actually, that kind of changed at the end of the 18th century because the British were very wary about all these Catholic priests coming back from France, and they were afraid they'd bring revolutionary ideas with them. So they founded Maynooth to train reliable, loyal Catholic priest. And that kind of ended the Catholic connection. It changed it. But then you had Wolfe Tone in revolutionary France. And he was totally immersed in these ideas of independence and a republic. And he asked the French to help him liberate Ireland from the British. So then it became a political bond from then on.
But one of the deepest things, because this happened in 1998, we had the bicentenary of 1798, mm-hmm. and you had, is it Humbert?
Yes.
And you had all of these French connections of, I got sick of listening to a liberty and equality and fraternity and I don't know how many other T's, but there is a deep bond of politics, is there?
Absolutely, and that continues. The Irish Embassy in Paris will celebrate in the new year three important Franco-Irish anniversaries. General Humbert, again, because it's the 225th anniversary of the Year of the French. They will celebrate the 175th anniversary of Thomas Maher bringing back the tricolour from the revolution in 1848 in Paris. And they will celebrate the 50th anniversary of EU accession, which was really due to the French, because having blocked Ireland's entry into the EU for a decade, after General de Gaulle left power, Pompidou said yes, and the French basically unlocked the door for Ireland to join the EU. So that shows you how much it's an ongoing thing. By the way, when the Irish joined the EU in 1973, Eamon de Valera invited Paddy Hillary, who was Ireland's first EU commissioner, to lunch at the Oris. And he said, and I quote, this is from actually thanks to Pierre Joannon, Ireland's consul general on the Côte d'Azur, Dev told Paddy Hillary, "Stay close to the French. They are always our friends over the years. And if you follow them, you won't go too far wrong."
Yeah, when I was Minister for Agriculture in the mid-90s, our best friends were the French, you know, because they
absolutely
had the sheep meat industry and they were always big supporters of common agricultural policy. And we punched above our weight because we always relied on the French to back our case. Tell us about Charles de Gaulle.
Ah, Le Grand Charles. He was, to use a title of a British biography, the last great Frenchman. And all French political parties from the National Front to the Socialist, they've changed their name, the Rassemblement National, to the Socialist, now pay homage to de Gaulle. And he was part Irish. He had a great-grandmother who was from County Down. She was a McCartan. And when he lost power in 1969, he came to Ireland for 6 weeks. It was his refuge. And he gave a speech at Dublin Castle where he talked about the Irish blood in my veins. And he said, one always goes back to one's origins. So he really loved Ireland. And he had his other grandmother, the one who was not Irish, actually wrote a biography of Daniel O'Connell. So there was a very strong Irish connection.
Who was the one who ended up in Sneem?
Went to
Sneem in Kerry? Did one of them retire to live there? No? No?
No? Don't know about that, Ivan. I know.
Okay.
I think de Gaulle went there. He visited Sneem. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Charles de Gaulle. Yeah.
After he retired. Okay. Now, when we think of the French, right, leaving aside the l'escargot and the snails, it's mostly the wine and the cheese that we like about them. I mean, and then there's the issue of they're supposed to be fantastic lovers. Is this true? Could it be right?
Well, I won't comment on personal experience, but I think that the French reputation for seduction comes from the fact that they've always been obsessed. Well, since the 18th century, they invented what they called the aventure galante, which was sexual seduction, and it was almost a national pastime. And it's a
game.
That
was a French thing, was it?
It's they make it, the love in France is a game much more than it is in English speaking countries. What Edna O'Brien calls the game of men and women. It's something that the French...
Because, you know, let me tell you a story. We used to go, when the French minister's over, we'd wine and dine him. And my Sir Humphrey, you know, would say to me, now, this isn't the minister's wife, it's his girlfriend. there's a bit of that goes on in France.
Yeah, I think it goes on in every country. I mean, I think these things are globalized by Hollywood and we all know the same music and so on. But what is at play in France, which I don't find in other countries, is this. The French have this phrase, être dans la séduction, to be in a seductive mode.
And sounds terrific.
Well, it even surpasses just, you know, one-on-one male-female relations or whatever.
It's almost a cultural thing, isn't it?
It's a cultural thing. And it's when you go in to see your banker and he wants to give you a cup of coffee and he winks at you, or the cashier in the supermarket.
A bit flirty,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, flirty. Flirty. That's a good way of putting it.
Okay. You've alluded to the Irish College in Paris. I was never in there. What's it all about?
Well, today it's the Centre Culturel Irlandais, the CCI, and it's the flagship for Irish soft power on the continent, I suppose you could call it. It's been a very successful venture, but it's the actual building is really beautiful. It's a treasure. It's the most valuable building that Ireland has anywhere abroad. And it was built in the 18th century by Louis XVI's architect. It has a huge courtyard with a garden in it. It has a lovely spiral staircase. And it just has a kind of ambiance like no other. It's a place I really love personally.
And finally, what of the future? Post-Brexit, I know Rosslare in my own county, brand new ferry services direct to the continent, always Cherbourg, Le Havre, all that kind of thing. I'd say the bonds post-Brexit are going to be deeper.
They're stronger than ever. The ferry crossings have quadrupled since Brexit. France and Ireland signed last month a contract for a 1.6 billion euro Celtic interconnector, which is an undersea cable going from Brittany to Cork, which will plug Ireland into the continental grid. And they're totally together on the preservation of the Northern Ireland Protocol, And they need each other. They like each other. There's a real affinity between the two countries.
And a very pragmatic political relationship.
Absolutely.
And alliance. All right. Well, Lara Marlow will be writing in the Irish Times towards the end of the year about this very topic and will give even more insights. My sincere thanks, Lara, for joining us today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.